أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. دغه حدیث which indicates towards a very important dimension of the mind, and that is that when anyone of us is observing people from outside, outwardly, when you look at any person in the street, in the mosque, or anywhere, because your senses are deriving information, eyes are seeing, ears are hearing, that if that person is speaking. And because certain experience throughout your life, they might be saved in your memory, and those people with whom the appearances of that particular person is correlating somehow, without intention, spontaneously, a concept, a judgment your mind will issue about that person or group of people, based on which in the information your mind will retrieve from its experiences throughout your life. Sometimes it's wrong, a very few times it's correct. Because your senses can only derive and learn about the outward appearance of that person at that time. Eyes can see, but they cannot penetrate into the inner self, into the heart, into the soul of that person. Ears can hear, but they can only hear whatever is being said. Whatever is in the heart of that person, one does not know. So, what is the method or approach which one should adopt? Is a positive approach, that do not look at the negative characteristics of that person, but look at his positive characteristics and think good of him or her. So a hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih from Sahal ibn Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, a man passed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So companions were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in those times there were many times when they were gathering, there were no walls, or they were very low walls. People could see who is passing on the street, what's happening. A man passes the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to one of his companions in the gathering, "What do you think of this man?" So this is a method or a technique of teaching adopted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead of just mentioning, specifying theory when he wanted to explain something. So now Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is practically using a technique by involving the other person in the process of learning. So now suddenly his mind will begin thinking and working and become alert, and the others will also, in the gathering, they will also develop a sense of focus and more attention that what is happening. So this is one of the techniques of teaching. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bu'ithu," that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me as a teacher, primarily. All Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are teachers. So he asked one of the companions that, "What do you think about this man?" He said, "He is one of the noblest, rich of the people. By Allah, if he proposes marriage somewhere, he will be, that his proposal will be accepted. And if he intercedes on someone's behalf, to a lawyer, to a judge, or a governor, or a leader, he deserves to have his intercession accepted. He has a high status in society." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said nothing. Then another man passed the gathering and of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He again asked the man, the companion, "What do you think about this man?" The man said, "O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is one of the poor Muslims. If he proposes marriage, he does not deserve to be accepted. If he proposes marriage, most probably it will not be accepted. If he intercedes, his intercession will not be accepted. And if he speaks, he will not be heard by many. People will not be interested to hear something from him." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This one man is better than an earth full of men like the other man." Another similar incident I will just read in, narrated in Sunan Ibn Majah. A man passed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereupon said to his companion, "What do you think of this man?" They said, "We think that he is one of the noblest of the people. If he proposes marriage, he will be accepted. If he intercedes, his intercession will be accepted. And if he speaks, he deserves to be heard." Then another man asked a similar story, goes on, and at the end Rasulullah said, "This man is better than an earth full of men like the other one." So what does this teach us? That whenever during your normal course of life or during preaching or anywhere, do not prejudge people, or do not think that whoever the people are giving value to, he is also honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not judge that where more people are, thousands and thousands of people are sitting in a gathering and they are listening to someone or they are being taught. It doesn't mean that that person or those people are best people, then a person who solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing the work of deen alone, and no one is listening to him, no one is following him, he is on his own working and striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people are of this notion, they think that a person who people think is more honorable, and they have certain ideas attached to it, they tend to give that person more value. Then a person who might be living in your neighborhood, might be coming, attending your mosque, the same mosque, and you yourself will not pay much attention and respect to him, and nor other people will do. But it can be quite opposite, that the person who is followed by thousands and thousands and hundreds of people might have no value in our sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than this person who is not given any value at all by people. And most of the awliya Allah are like this. They do not claim, make big claims, or they do not offer big slogans, because they are not very much interested that people follow them or not, but they are more interested in to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to speak the truth. And the people of truth have always been few in number on this earth, except when the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will come, then there will be majority, most people, 99% will be Muslim at one time. But other time, there are few people on the truth. So don't judge the truth by people, majority. Majority is considered only when, for example, 10 people of knowledge, of sound knowledge are sitting, people of ijtihad are sitting, majority of them is valuable and acceptable and have more value, not majority of ignorant and normal people. It is most likely that the normal people are in the common fold, most are ignorant, and the thing they will be following, mostly how their way of thinking will not be right. So that is why Islam rejects democracy in the concept that people are less wise, most people are less wise, there are few people, very very wise people, they are intelligent people. And democracy believes in nothing except that whatever the majority says, it doesn't take into account quality. But what is the quality of these people? It does not weigh them, it counts. But Islam also weighs people and then counts. Islam weighs people at what level they are, knowledgeable people they are, then counts them. If more knowledgeable people, 100 people are the ulama, and if 80 accept one thing, then the weight is on their side. But not people like me and you or other normal people. Their opinion is not of no value at all. So here Western democracy is not value-based society, but it is the opposite. Whatever the people say, if 51, 52 people say that yes, this thing is allowed, or there is God, or there is one or two gods, that is more accepted than the other. There is no value to the truth, it is just number of head counting. No matter how dumb or how ignorant or how fool people are, but that is the worth. So in this hadith, Rasulullah has told that not to prejudge people outwardly, think good of them, but do not belittle someone by just saying that they have no financial backup, or financially they are not very well off, or they do not have great number of followers, or they are alone person. Don't you see that how many people are following Mirza Tahir and Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani? A large number is following them. Hundreds, thousands following them. And people like Nation of Islam in America, hundreds, thousands of people follow them. But they have gone out of the ambit of Islam completely. تو یہ ہے کہ کسی کو بھی دیکھیں, کسی کی بھی مسلمان کو اگر آپ دیکھیں تو اس کے ظاہری افعال اور ظاہری وضع قطع کے دیکھتے ہوئے فیصلہ نہ کر دیں کہ بھئی یہ کچھ نہیں, اور جس کو دیکھیں کہ بھئی یہ امیر ہے یا اس کے بہت شاگرد ہیں یا مقتدی ہیں تو وہ اعلیٰ ہو گیا. اللہ کی نظروں میں جو اعلیٰ ہے وہ اللہ ہی جانتا ہے. اس لیے ہر مسلمان کی عزت کرنی چاہیے. کوئی پتہ نہیں کہ آپ کے سامنے جو بیٹھا ہو بندہ یا جس کی آپ کے ساتھ ڈیلنگ ہے وہ کس درجے کا بندہ ہے. یو نیور نو. دیٹ از وائی ایوری مسلم شوڈ بی ریسپیکٹڈ. دیٹ ہی ہیز ایمان پلس دیٹ ہی مائٹ ہولڈ اے ویری ہائی اسپرچل اسٹیٹس or honorable, might be honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you might disrespect him. There are many examples in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also the life of awliya Allah. It's not our topic, so we go to the next part. Hazrat Usama bin Zaid radiallahu ta'ala who narrates that he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent us out on a military expedition, military campaign, and we reached a place in the morning. During the battle, I caught a man and he said, La ilaha illallah, but I still stabbed him. Then I felt mad about it and I mentioned it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, La ilaha illallah, and you killed him. I said, O Messenger of Allah, he only said it because he was afraid of my weapon. He said, how can you know what is in his heart? How can you be sure whether he was sincere or not? He kept repeating this same sentence. How can you know what is in his heart? Have you cut his heart into two pieces and seen? So Prophet said that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept repeating this. He kept repeating this until I wished that I had not become a Muslim until that day. Because embracing Islam wipes out all sins that came before. Said, I thought I've done such a great sin that I wish that I just became Muslim today. Because he heard what Rasulullah was saying again and again. So this was also a technique of admonishing someone, that just to repeat something, a sentence, a warning, advice again and again to that person. So you are not hitting that person, but mentally you are hitting him. You're hitting on his heart. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, what will you do on the day of judgment when La ilaha illallah comes and will be claimant against you? Now there is a very subtle point here which people dispute a lot about, is that reality of iman, jo iman hai uski haqeeqat to is hadith ye pata chalta hai, and by this hadith we know the reality of iman is iqrarun bil lisan wa tasdeequn bil qalb, testifying with the heart and uttering the word of Tawheed, the kalima of Tawheed, and the salat with your tongue. All others are signs of iman. They are not part of iman. There is a very big argument between the scholars of Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat and also others, that who claim, some claim that deeds are also part of iman as such. But Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat ulama say that deeds are the signs of iman, so from that point of view they are from iman, but in actual fact reality of iman is only in the heart, and one expresses it by its tongue. Kyunki is bande ne, the person who was killed in the battle, he had done nothing else. So amal jitne hain wo signs hain of iman, and they are not iman themselves. Otherwise, if they were iman, then it would have been possible that if one committed that amal or left that amal, then he would have become a non-Muslim. When the same people believe that he does not become a non-Muslim, then why do they insist on that the amal and deeds and practice is also part of iman? Iman is something in the heart. Because it is said also in another hadith that there will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last, in the day of judgment and in the from the fire of hell, when we say to the angels that bring to the anbiya and the angels that bring out those who even have an atom weight iman, and still people will go, anbiya alayhi salam will go, angels will go, and they will extract and they will pull out everyone who could see an atom's weight iman, who have zarre barabar iman, wo bhi usko bhi le aaye. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that many people, angels have come, they have interceded, anbiya alayhi salam has come, they have interceded, the prophets have come, they have interceded, and they have taken. And there will be people in the fire of hell that whose iman will be so minute that even anbiya and angels would not be able to recognize that they have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself will take them out. To isse pata chalta hai ki iman asal jo haqeeqat hai iman ki wo dil mein hai, batin mein hoti hai. Amal are the signs of iman. Like I said yesterday, that to come into the ambit and to the circle of iman, to become a mu'min, one have to believe in whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. But to go out from the ambit of Islam, you do not need to deny everything. If you deny just one thing, that is sufficient for you that you become a non-Muslim. Manne ke liye sab manna padta hai. But to go out of Islam, then you only need to deny one thing. All others are not, then automatically they become invalid. That is why some people say that those people, for example, Qadianis or the station of Islam or Baha'i, that they pray, they believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they believe in the Anbiya, they believe in the books, they believe in the angels, they fast, they pray, they kalma padte hain, wo roze rakhte hain, hajj karna chahte hain, other things they are doing, and they have very good morals, they have very good etiquettes, they have good manners. Why they are not become? Why shall we not call them Muslims? They don't understand this reality that in order to become a non-Muslim, you only need to deny one thing only. Any fundamental of Iman you deny, you become non-Muslim. It doesn't matter you believe, either 99% you believe on the other things, and you deny one thing. So if they disbelieve in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khatme Nabuwwat, in the sense that there is no prophet or newborn prophet and messenger after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is fundamental of Islam, and this is to give someone else authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all 1400 years ulama, mujtahideen, aima, awliya, arifin, they are unanimous on this. Then just by denying that, they become non-Muslim, no matter they read million times La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, or they say we believe in Khatam al-Nabiyyin, but they have to believe in the Khatam al-Nabiyyin with the meaning which ulama of Islam have actually proclaimed, have mentioned, not what they think, because they do very trivial interpretation that the Khatam al-Nabiyyin means, Khatam means stamp, and Nabiyyin means Anbiya. This means that Rasulullah ﷺ had the stamp, whoever he has authorized and stamped to become Nabi, he can become Nabi. And because Mirza Ghulam Qadiani was authorized by Rasulullah ﷺ, and that is why he is Nabi. Because Prophet ﷺ has that special stamp. So is tarah ke aur bhi taweelat hain, they do other things mentioned. But you only remember one principle. Come into Islam, you have to believe in all things. You can't say, I believe in this and I don't believe in that. But go out of Islam, you only need to deny one thing. So that is why Qadiani, there's no question, no matter kitne haji kare, kitne zakate de, kitne wo zikr kare, kitne Quran padhe, whatever they do, when they don't have the reality of Iman, ab alamat Iman, they are nothing. Signs are only valid when there is reality. Jab reality khatam ho gayi, then there is no value of signs. Jis tarah Abdullah bin Abi ibn Salul aur the munafiqeen after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, that they adopted all the signs. They were praying, they were fasting, they were participating in jihad sometimes they were not, but they were all doing other things as well. But none of them actually became Muslim in the moment. Why? Because they did not have the iman in the heart. Outwardly they were doing. So those people who say the deeds are the part of iman, they are not part of the iman, they are signs of iman. وہ علامات ہیں. So this hadith clarifies very much that we have to accept it is the Sharia law that what a person says outwardly, we have to accept what he says. We cannot say no from the heart you are not. Similarly, if someone outwardly speaks like infidels, like kuffar, we will issue judgment on him according to what he is speaking outwardly. Now, if he says, I am inwardly, I did not mean that, or I mean, or inwardly, I believe something else, then we leave that matter between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decide on the judgment. But outwardly, from the Sharia point of view, the judgment will be issued according to what he is speaking outwardly or going outwardly. And if he thinks that he is Muslim or good from inside, then we say that we leave that to you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We issue judgment based on what we hear or what you say outward. So the hadith is saying that reminding people, Rasulullah repeated again and again the word of warning. This is also a technique which might not look very attractive to you, but it is very effective when you will use it on someone, on your brothers, on your sisters, on your family, on your other subordinate, or children, whoever, it is affected as very much affected. Another hadith reported in Sahih Muslim that Abu Mas'ud al-Badri said that I was beating a slave of mine with a whip. So a slave did a mistake or he done something wrong, and Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala became angry and he was hitting him with a whip. And I heard a voice behind me saying, "Listen, Abu Mas'ud." But I did not pay attention to the voice because I was so angry. So he did not pay attention to the voice because he was so overwhelmed by anger. When the voice got nearer to me, I realized that it was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was saying, "Listen, Abu Mas'ud, listen, Abu Mas'ud." I dropped the whip from my hand. He said, "Listen, Abu Mas'ud, Allah has more power over you than you have over this slave." I said, "I will never hit this slave again." According to another report, he said, "I said, O Messenger of Allah, he is free for the sake of Allah." He said, "If you did not do this, the fire of hell would blow in your face, or the fire would touch you." So Rasulullah ﷺ repeated, "Listen, O Abu Mas'ud, listen, O Abu Mas'ud." This was also a similar technique is being used, that when that person did not know who it was, because he was overwhelmed by anger, he did not, but when he realized it was Rasulullah ﷺ saying, and then Rasulullah ﷺ gave him a wise advice, that the power you have over this slave, because he is temporarily your slave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more power over you, meaning that how many mistakes and sins you do in a day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish you for them. So you also forgive them. So there are some other ahadith just emphasizing on the same technique, that repeating wise words, words of nice words, words of warning, words of advice also have effect. Saying once will not have that effect. Sometimes saying them 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 times will have effect as well. Different effect. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the khutbah as well sometimes spoke 3 times and he wanted to. It was a habit of the Arabs as well to emphasize something, they repeated it 3 times. But a person who you know that which we covered before as well, that he is normally not involved in mistakes and intentionally, but sometime or he has a good record and he has been overwhelmed by desire, sudden desire, he did not have any intention, he did not pre-plan to do something. And he feels remorse as well. And he feels if he wants to repent, he should be shown compassion. So one of the hadith related by Hazrat Ibn Abbas, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that a man, which means a companion, divorced his wife through zihar. Zihar means that when a person say to, it is not a divorce of the actual divorce, but it is like saying that you are to your wife, you are like my mother to me, my sister to me, meaning that I will not have any relationship with you. So he did this, and if someone does this, then they have to feed 60 miskeen. This is kafara, expiation for it. But this person who did this, and then he had a relationship with his wife, husband and wife, that he slept with his wife. And he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I divorced my wife through zihar. Then I had gone into bed with her before I offered kafara. Uto kafare ke baad, expiation, after feeding the 60 miskeen, one can again actually, they can come together. But he did not wait for that, and he slept with her. But the khauf, the fear of akhirat, and the fear of death was such in their heart that after doing that, he came completely restless and came running to Rasulullah sallallahu and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I have done this." So this is shows that that person was sincere and he did not pre-plan what he was doing. But he became overwhelmed by my desire, as he himself said after. As he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "What made you do that? May Allah have mercy on you." Of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that why he had done that. That he is not a person who will intentionally do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "What made you do that? May Allah have mercy on you." Ab dekhe kitne jo hai pyare lafz hain, how beautiful words Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have selected. He was very honest. Now this hadith also indicates toward the danger of guarding the eye. Guarding your gazes. The kitni khatarnaak hai aankhon se dekhna. He said, "I saw her anklets." So anklets means actually those jewelry kind of ornaments worn by women on their ankles. Is tarah they wear bangles here, and anklets are worn on the legs. Usko kehte pazeb, jisko kehte Urdu mein pazeb. He said that, "What made you do that?" Rasulullah said, he said, "I saw her anklets in the moonlight." He said, "Then do not go near her until you have done what which Allah has commanded you to do." This means that until now you have fed 60 masakeen, expiation kafara nahi diya, ab dobara unke kareeb jo hai, do not go near her again. But this also hadith, Rasulullah was aware, the companion was aware, that just by looking at her, his own wife even, that it was such a destruction he brought on himself. If Rasulullah then explained to him that because he has become overwhelmed by desire suddenly. So is tarah hi main kehta hu, for those people who are traveling this path of piety, of sunnah, of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them even watching news or is not good. Maybe for another person it doesn't matter to him. But for until you are in the process of your nafsi, nafsi umara, suddenly it will, the desire will kindle, and then you will become overwhelmed by it. And then you can't help it. So it is better to cut off the means of the sin. Hazrat Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه, another hadith is narrated by Imam Bukhari. So whilst we were sitting with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came to him and said, "O Messenger of Allah, I am doomed. I have been destroyed. I have destroyed myself." He said, "What is the matter with you?" He said, I went to bed with my wife whilst I was fasting." So this was in the beginning of Islam. People, well, these masail were coming into the light. So through these incidents with companions, now we know the masail. If they wouldn't have been taken place with a companion, now we would have not known to be ab humne kya karna. So whatever happened in the life of Rasulullah, the companion, do not focus on the companion that they are doing mistake or not. They are for our guidance. They are blessed people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already mentioned them, given them certificate of paradise. Radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu. That they are pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with them.
So no matter whatever sin, if they, even if they've done it, when Allah SWT has forgiven them, we cannot accuse anyone, even a normal Muslim who have repented. It is a grave sin to intimidate him by reminding him of his previous sin. That aside, speaking about companions. So, like for example, the people of Badr, Prophet said that Allah SWT looked at the people of Badr, the companion of Badr, and said, whatever you do after you are forgiven. Whatever you do after, is a hadith, sahih hadith, you are forgiven. Now, wasn't Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq there? Wasn't Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu there? Wasn't Hazrat Usman there? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was there? So people who speak ill about that they had this argument, they had that argument, this war happened, they are people who are dooming actually themselves for failure of their iman, and they are harming their iman. When Rasulullah has given them certificate of paradise, then to speak, Allah Subhanahu has given certificate of paradise, then it is better to count one's own sins rather than actually focusing on them. And there is no authentic riwayat as well. There are only the riwayat of history. Incident takes place here, accident happened, 15 people are there. Every witness might give a different description of the accident. This happened, this happened. Although it happens here. There are many incidents in your life, in your family life, something has happened, and then there's a dispute, one will say, no, this happened, other will say, no, this happened. Now, this incident happened 1400 years ago, and the people of that time are of the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ, and whatever is happening there, maybe most of the things are hidden from what we know, what has happened. We didn't know the reality. We don't know the reality what happened there. And 1400 years after, we are giving our judgment and our research and our opinion that this happened and that happened and that did not happen. Very dangerous. So our companions came and he said, I slept with my wife while I was fasting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are you able to set a slave free? He said, no. He said, can you fast for two consecutive months? He said, no. He said, do you have, financially, are you able to feed 60 poor persons? He said, no. The Prophet ﷺ said, nothing more than, more about this in the matter for a while. So Prophet ﷺ paused a little. And whilst we were sitting there like that, a large basket of full dates was brought to the Rasulullah ﷺ as a gift by someone. He said, where is the one who was asking? The man said, here I am. Rasulullah ﷺ said, take this and give it in charity to some poor. The man said, who is poorer than me, Rasulullah ﷺ? By Allah, there is no family in Medina poorer than mine. Rasulullah ﷺ smiled until his eye teeth were visible. Then he said, feed your family and yourself with it. Ab dekhna wo, that person is coming. Genuine person who have done a mistake. He is saying, Rasulullah ﷺ is saying to him, can you set free a slave? He said, no. Can you fast for 2 months, consecutive months? He said, no. Now Rasulullah is not asked, why can you not fast 2 months? What's happened with you? What's up with you? No. This is not the way. When you have no, when you know that someone is sincere, then you do not don't encounter him. Whatever he is saying, listen to him and find a way out for him, a way forward for him, to get out of that situation. He is not able to feed 60 poor, and then obviously you heard hadith yourself. So this person who had made a mistake and came to ask about it was not joking or took it lightly. He felt remorse and guilt. As it's clear from saying that I am doomed. So I am, he is feeling that he is finished. Even this makes it clear, another narration by Hazrat Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه says that a Bedouin came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, hitting his cheeks and tearing out his hair and saying, I am sure that I am doomed, I have destroyed myself. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, what has said? And then he said the same thing. So always look at the person who is, who you are trying to preach, who you are trying to advise or enjoin good. Okay, that what is his situation? If he already feels that he is wrong, then he does not need to be criticized more and more and more and more. That will stop his progress. Another very important point is that when a person becomes a new Muslim or a person has become newly embraces piety, taqwa, or the way of taqwa, when he previously he did not have any knowledge of Islam and somehow now the divine mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the advice of a brother, he has become a Muslim, or he has become on the way of becoming a good Muslim when he was not a pious Muslim before, and he has learned some knowledge of Deen. Now this person, because he is very excited about here, because he is on a way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would like other people to also, and he is very much enthusiastic to know why. Why are you doing this? And you do this. And he preaches now and then everywhere, and hastens swiftly. He picks up people and catches people and admonishes them. This way is such a way of the prophets and the wise way as well. So some of the hadith elaborating on this approach, that not taking swift action in some situation, it will be clear from the hadith. Something happened to Umar which he himself told about. I heard Hisham ibn Hakim ibn Hizam reciting Surah Al-Furqan during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I listened to his recitation and he was reciting it differently. Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه is hearing Surah Furqan, one of the Surah of the Quran, from a companion who was reading, reciting it differently, like Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had taught Hazrat Umar to be. So he was reciting differently to the way of Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite it. I nearly interrupted his prayer, so he was reciting the surah in his namaz, in his prayer. But I waited until he had said salam, then I grabbed him by his cloak and said, who taught you to recite this surah? I heard you reciting. He said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم taught me to recite it. I said, you are lying. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم taught me to recite it differently. So how could Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم teach you as well like this? A different way. You are lying. So this is, means that companions have this instinct that if there is a clash between somehow the saying of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the saying of all other people, or the scientists, or the philosopher, or any other person living in your time, previous time, they would automatically, instantly assume that other person is untruthful. Because everything can be, the sky can fall down, but Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has said, what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has said can never be wrong. So the Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه was even more angry that you are accusing Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has taught you this. So he said, I took him to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I heard him reciting Surah Furqan differently than the way you taught me, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him go. Let him go. Recite, O Hisham. So Rasulullah said that leave his clothes. So Al-Qamar was grabbing him. He said, let him go. And he said to Hisham, to the companion, recite. How were you reciting? He recited it as I had heard him recite it before. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is how it was revealed. So Rasulullah said, this is how it was revealed, like he is reciting. Then he said, recite, O Umar. O Umar, you recite as well. So I recited it as he had taught me. The Messenger of Allah said, this is how it was revealed. This Quran was revealed in 7 days of recitation. So recite it in the way that is easiest for you. So, lot of lessons in this hadith, that sometimes that a person who is doing, both people are right what they are doing. But I or you might be unaware of why that person is doing that. Apparently, if Rasulullah has not clarified at that time, it was looking very much clear to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala that this person is lying. And Rasulullah approach was so calm, soft, you can say, that both of them, that Rasulullah said, recite O Hisham, and then recite O Umar, and then say that they were revealed. And the Prophet did not criticize Hazrat Umar about his attitude, because this was sufficient, because what Rasulullah has said, and it was sufficient for Hazrat Umar to understand that his approach was not the best at that time. Another hadith narrated in the book Nisa'i, Imam a companion says that I came with my paternal uncles to Medina and we entered one of the gardens of the city. I rubbed some of the weeds and the owner of the garden came and took my cloak and hit me. I came to Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking for help. So this person came as a traveler to Medina with his uncle, was a young man. So he took some of the wheat from the garden, which was not his own garden, someone else's garden. And the owner of the garden, the companion who was the owner of the garden, came and took my cloak. So he, as a compensation, he took his cloak and also hit me. So this person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asking for his help. He sent for that man. Now imagine the normal course is, you would have been, that if a young man has come and said, I took some weed and that person hit me, then normal approach is that, why did you take those, that weed from his garden when it was not your garden? It is good that you have been hit. Don't do it next time. This is also one of those. But then you know not to interfere with other people's property. Yeah. But that is why I say that to learn the Rasulullah's method and his wisdom, where all people benefit from it more and more, is very blessful. So when he mentioned to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, I went to the garden and I took some wheat, I was hungry. This person came and hit me as well and took my cloak. So Rasulullah sent for that owner of that garden. Rasulullah said to him, when he was brought to him, what made you do what you did? What made you do that? Hit him. He said, O Messenger of Allah, he went into my garden and took some of my wheat and rubbed it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you did not teach him if it was the matter of him not knowing, and you did not feed him if it was the matter of him being hungry. So Rasulullah SAW said that you were so hasten and so swift to punish him that you should have thought that if the situation was that he might not know that it is wrong to do that, then you should have taught him first. And if it was the other situation that he was hungry, then instead of doing what you did, then you should have fed him before. So he did not feel need, as he was your guest as well, as in the garden as well, and he was traveling. And you did not feed him if it was the matter of him being hungry. Give him back his cloak, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that I should be given a wasq, or a half a wasq, it's a measure of wheat, certain kilogram, to him. So this means that sometimes, yes, you see a person doing a mistake, very blatantly he's doing a mistake. But maybe the circumstances are such that if you knew circumstances, then you would have acted differently. So how will you adopt the wrong approach will be when you will very quickly take action. And then after you say, oh, if I knew that, I wouldn't have said this to this person. I wouldn't have done this to this person. So be calm. First of all, seek the information fully that what's happening and why that person is doing this. And then take action. So Rasulullah SAW also in a way admonished the owner of the garden, but he did not punish him. You see how Rasulullah SAW kept the balance. Rasulullah SAW taught him, but he did not punish him. Because it was his right, the wheat was his, so Rasulullah SAW did not punish him. But he taught him the way to deal with it, the situation next time and for other instances as well. And also the person who took that wheat, he also indirectly learned what Rasulullah SAW said. So Rasulullah SAW did not directly say to him that you should have not taken wheat from his garden. Directly Rasulullah SAW did not say to him in that story. But when Rasulullah SAW said that if you should have taught him, maybe he does not know that it was wrong to take. So now this person also knows and what he has done is wrong and his approach was not right. The garden owner knows that his approach was right and he that is the methodology and approach of Rasulullah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Anything you want to mention? पूछनी है बात आपने? If there's nothing, then inshallah, I'll make preparation for the Maghrib prayer.
This brother was asking me, where do you get the name Nathaniel in the Prophet? And I didn't say anything. He asked me, if you're comparing there with Nathaniel in the Allah, with Nathaniel in the Prophet, he asked me, where do you get
firstly, it is very foolish to say that one is comparing with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because neither there are 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor there are 99 names of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are countless billions names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are thousands and millions names of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is only a matter that we only know few of them. I have seen ulama or in the books who have written 500 names of Rasulullah and 99 names are of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Prophet selected 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said that this is a special blessing on him. He did not say that there are only 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there are more names even than what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said in the Quran. Now I can get 90 now. What Rasulullah sallallahu names, which Rasulullah sallallahu said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hadith. Now I can derive 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Quran, only from the Quran, which are not even in the hadith. Some are only in the hadith, but they are not from the Quran, in that particular hadith of 99 names. But there are, I can derive without the teaching of my scholar, the ulama, 99 names only from the Quran. So those, that hadith does not mean that there are only 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all, because there are certain names more of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and there are countless names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Our Shaykh and Murshid, Sayyidina Mawlana Abdulaziz Dabara Allah said that with every blink of an eye, he visualizes more than 100,000 names. And he said that this state is continuous. It does not, it's not that he visualizes once and then next day again. No. He said that every blink of eye, my soul visualizes 99, more than 100,000 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this state is continuous, day and night is happening. And every time there are different names. Now why is it? Where does the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come from? They are expressions of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities are infinite? So we have shortcoming that we do not know the other qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has unlimited qualities. No one can put limit, it's infinite. And the qualities. So the name will be infinite as well. And Rasulullah's names are also abundant. And there are books. But I don't think this person deserves answering, because if he does not know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, that they are more than 99. Then what to say about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But inshallah, since for you actually I will mention it sometime, the names of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran only, besides that hadith, within the hadith mentioned, and also 500 names or so of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. تو اگر آپ کو کتاب دیکھنی ہے تو آپ وہ کیا نام ہے شفا شریف جو قاضی ایاز کی اس میں دیکھیں, اس میں بھی ہیں لکھے ہوئے کہاں سے لیے ہیں. I believe it's translated in English now as well. تو اس میں بھی ہیں. So name, where did the name come from? His name comes from the qualities of person. So Prophet, how many qualities Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم had? Only 99 or 100? Or thousand. He was speaking, he was, he is Rahim, he is Rauf, Allah Ta'ala in his name. He is Kaleem, he is Arabi, he is Madaniyun. So many names which actually are very apparent, that those names or qualities are of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Say to him, that I asked someone, they were saying that I can show you also have 99 names, you own 99 qualities. But at a lower level. تو انسان میں بھی ہے, انسان بھی سمیع ہے, بصیر ہے, اور اپنا other thing on itself he has certain کلیم ہے, وہ بھی بولتا ہے other things. But at a lower level, lower grade. ٹھیک ہے, سبحانک اللہم وبحمدک اشہد ان لا الہ الا انت استغفرک و اتوب الیک.